Good morning and welcome to West End United Methodist Church. We're so glad that you have chosen to join us this morning. I have two announcements. The first is there will be no all-church lunch after today's service. However, next week there is a church lunch, and we'll be inviting new members to join us and then celebrating them next week at that lunch. So call Kirk or email him for reservations for that. The second is a shameless plug for some Lenten videos that the Spiritual Formation Department has developed. Each week during Lent, we're focusing on a different spiritual practice, and Michael and John and myself and many members of West End have created and been a part of these videos to help us on our Lenten journey. You can find them on the front page of the West End site or by putting in YouTube West End United Methodist Church Lenten videos, and you'll be able to find those. There is evidence of spring all around us. What does God have waiting to bloom in your life?
Here in this place, there are no foreigners.
All welcome in God's house.
Here in this worship, There is only acceptance.
For love is the language of faith.
Here in our lives, there are no divisions.
For God dwells in each of us.
Come, let us worship in unity and love. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are tired, who are worn out from carrying heavy burdens. Put down the heavy load that you are carrying, and you will find rest for your souls." Now we gather our confessions together and offer them to God. Loving God, you call us into community. Teach us your ways, and bless us with abundant life. Yet we turn aside to follow other paths. We take the easy way out, listening to the world's call rather than your call to commitment. We quarrel with one another, letting differences divide us. We cherish our resentments, shutting off our hearts from forgiveness and reconciliation. We cling to petty jealousies, feeling we deserve more than we have. Forgive us when we wander from your love. Draw us into community with each other and feed us with the milk of your grace that we may grow in faithfulness and work together in peace. Hear these words of assurance. God is working in us, nurturing our growth and showing us the ways that lead to life. God is working in us, hearing our confessions, forgiving our disobedience, and blessing us in love. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Old Testament. Then Boaz said to his servant who was in charge of the reapers, "To whom does this young woman belong?" The servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, "She is the Moabite who came with Naomi from the country of Moab." She said, "Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the reapers." So she came, and she has been on her feet from early this morning until now, without resting even for a moment. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Keep your eyes on the field that is being reaped and follow behind them. I have ordered the young men not to bother you. If you get thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn." Then she fell prostrate with her face to the ground and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me when I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. May the Lord reward you for your deeds, and may you have a full reward from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
If anybody else, children that want to come and join me up here for our time together, I would love to have you. So this morning, our story is about Ruth, and she is gleaning. Now, gleaning is one of those things that you might not know about, so I'm going to tell you about it. It has to do with farms. So Boaz, one of the characters, he owns a big farm, and whenever he grew grains. So whenever the grains would grow and grow and grow, and when they were ready, he would hire workers to come and help him pick the grains. And those people are called reapers. They are the harvesters. Well, after the harvest is done, the Bible says, if you're a farmer, you should leave about 10% or the different plants on the edge of the farm. You should leave some of the grain still there. Or if you're growing vegetables, you should leave extra vegetables. Or if you're growing fruit, you should leave extra fruit for people in the community that maybe don't have enough to eat, or they might need a little help. They can come and they can pick from those plants. So they get to have some food. This is because God wants to show everybody how abundant God's love is. And abundant means just there's more than enough. There's lots and lots. When I was your age, and even still today, when my mom is cooking in the kitchen, I'll sit with her, and maybe she's making a cake or some brownies, and she's whipping up the brownies, and she puts it in the pan and then puts it in the oven. And at the very end, there's a spoon, or there's maybe the beaters or the bowl, and she lets me lick some of the spoon off to get some of the batter that's left over. Does your mom ever let you do that? Sometimes, yeah. That's kind of like gleaning. It's kind of the extra, the abundance of the cake batter that my mom had, the more than enough. She lets me take some of that. And that's what Ruth does in this story. Boaz lets her do some gleaning in his fields. So next time you maybe have a little extra, or maybe you have something that you really love, like a cake, maybe you can share it with some other people that don't have it. Will you guys pray with me? Lord, thank you so much for this time to be together. Thank you for your abundant love. Thank you that we can share that love with others. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Thanks so much for coming down. Three summers ago, I boarded a plane in Nashville, Tennessee, and I flew 24 hours later, ended up in Kampala, Uganda. I designed a research project to learn how music and dance practices in the Ugandan church allows for women's leadership. I made connections with different United Methodist women's groups and spent my summer there with them. Have you ever moved to a foreign land? Maybe you've moved to a new state in the United States. I was not surprised that in my time in Uganda that I didn't feel like I fit in. But I never knew the degree to which I would wonder about my belonging. I went to learn about women and their stories, and I end up learning more about myself, my own identity and belonging. I have no actual idea how Ruth felt when she entered Israel. As Michael explained 2 weeks ago, you know that she is a foreigner, a Moabite, and you know that she's a widow. And she would have experienced lots of stereotyping having to do with both of those things. The stereotyping I experienced in Uganda was mostly positive, but I was still an outsider in a foreign land. We all have some glimpse of what it's like to feel out of place, to belong nowhere, and to wonder, will I ever find my way? Our scripture passage this morning starts with a question from Boaz to his servant. Who is this young woman? Where does she belong? The servant answered, Ruth is with Naomi. Even with Ruth's striking vow to go wherever she goes, and to die wherever Naomi dies. Ruth does not belong to her mother-in-law. Ruth belongs to no one. In the context of a time when the judges ruled Israel, a woman must belong to someone, and a woman who does not belong to a man belongs to every man. This knowledge makes me realize how brave Ruth must have been to simply walk around, let alone enter a field and start gleaning when she knew no one. When we consider Ruth's situation as a widow and a foreigner, Ruth belonged to no one, and therefore anyone could take advantage of her. Yet, when we consider Ruth's spiritual identity, the story is different. She belongs to the God of Israel, the God of Naomi. She experienced deep love and belonged to God. When we do not acknowledge that we belong to God, we're vulnerable to be controlled by everything and anyone. This reminds me of the song, Gotta Serve Somebody, by the prophet Bob Dylan. In the opening track to his 1979 album, Slow Train Comin', Dylan describes a life that has become controlled by different occupations and vices. And he says, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Dylan understood that if you don't belong to something, you belong to everything. It can be difficult to accept our identity as a child of God. Even when we, like Ruth, make a vow before God and others, it can be challenging. Another 20th century prophet, Henry Nouwen, talks about this struggle. He says, you have to trust the place that is solid, the place where you can say yes to God's love, even when you do not feel it. Right now, you feel nothing except emptiness and the lack of strength to choose. But keep saying, God loves me. God's love is enough. You have to choose the solid place over and over again and return to it after every failure. Ruth understood that it's not just about a single one-time vow to God, but a continual daily acceptance that God's love is real and God's love is abundant. Last week, Michael introduced to us the word hesed. It means God's loving faithfulness, God's loving kindness. We are all on a constant journey to accepting hesed. Ironically, when we claim our true identity and accept the love and belonging from God, we are finally free. Even more ironic, the best way to live in this full freedom is to give it away. This is what Boaz does in the book of Ruth. In the books of Leviticus and Deuteronomy, it mentions the right of the widow, the poor, and the stranger to glean in fields when after the harvest is finished. As I mentioned with the children, gleaners were allowed in the fields and orchards to pick the fruits and vegetables. The right to glean behind the reapers, though, was not a right that could be claimed. It was a privilege granted or refused by the owner. Boaz not only granted Ruth the right to glean behind the reapers, but he also provided for her personal comfort by giving her protection and allowing for her to drink water with the other servants. In today's scripture passage, we have two models for God's hesed and how it can transform our lives. The first is Ruth, who models the ability to accept God's hesed for her life, and it gives her the courage and grit to face the pain of this world. The second is Boaz. Boaz models the ability to accept God's hesed and offer it to others. I can't help but recognize the modern day examples of Ruth and Boaz in the United States context. The foreign-born population has changed drastically over the last 50 years in the U.S., in the 1960s, foreign-born population was about 5%, and they came mostly from European nations. They settled in the North, East, and the Midwest. In today's context, foreign-born population is about 12%. And these folks usually come from Latin America and Asian countries, and they settle in the West and the South. Here in Tennessee, we have about 4.5% foreign-born, but in the city of Nashville, we match the national average of 12%. Nashville and many other cities in the U.S. have some of the fastest-growing populations of immigrants. In addition to the existing Latino and Kurdish communities, the city has seen an influx of residents from Sudan, Eastern Europe, Somalia, Egypt, Korea, and other areas. This information might be old news to many of you. It might be a little fearful or daunting to some of you, and it might be exciting to others. No matter where your mind goes with these statistics, it's important to recognize the models of Ruth and Boaz. You don't have to search long to discover people acting with courage and reaching out to welcome others in Nashville. One of my favorite stories is that of Renata Soto. Renata was born in Costa Rica and moved to the United States in 1990 for school. She later moved to Nashville. 10 years ago, Renata was one of the co-founders of Conexión Américas. You may know that this organization provides comprehensive services from economic, civic, and social integration for Latino families. But her vision didn't stop there. She decided she wanted to provide a place for all immigrants in Nashville. And she dreamed of Casa Azafrán, a community center that would be a collective of nonprofits to offer services in education, legal, healthcare, and the arts to immigrants, refugees, and the whole Nashville community. I read her story in the Nashville Scene as 2013 Nashvillian of the Year. Her work in Nashville community models Ruth's courage to navigate foreign systems and Boaz's willingness to offer comfort and provision to others out of the abundance of the community. Casa Azafrán is located just south of the Tennessee State Fairgrounds, and it's the Spanish word for saffron, but originally comes from Arabic. Saffron is a golden, yellow, orange spice indigenous to Asia, and it's used in many cultures, continents, and civilizations. Casa Azafrán chose this name specifically to show their intention and commitment to welcome all immigrants in Nashville. Those of you who cook with saffron or azafrán know how precious this spice is. At the price of $2,000 to $10,000 per pound, it is the most expensive food on the earth, more than truffles, caviar, and balsamic vinegar. The reason it's so expensive is that the threads to make saffron come from a very delicate flower that only blooms for a week every year. I didn't know anything about saffron until I purchased some as a gift for a friend in Israel a few weeks ago. I didn't pay much for it, so I'm not sure I actually got any saffron. But I came home and I looked up how to cook with this. The overwhelming majority of cooking sites say it's best to add saffron early in the cooking so its flavor can infuse all the other ingredients. One food blogger, Max Fallwinkel, said, "If you want saffron's delicate flavor to come to the fore, keep the other flavors and seasonings to a minimum. I most enjoy saffron as a supporting player, less for its flavor than for the depth of the flavor it gives to the whole dish. The way azafrán infuses the other ingredients, the way saffron gives depth and flavor to the whole dish, this is the true nature of God's hesed. When we allow God's love and belonging to saturate our lives, the taste, smell, color, and texture of our realities change. We have the courage, like Ruth, to face the pain in this world, to travel to a foreign land out of love and dedication to another, to take great risks and trust God will be faithful, to accept the generosity of others. When we live in the abundance of Boaz, recognizing the plenty God gives us and offering to share it with others, we feel the freedom to go above and beyond for those whom we hold a stereotype or those whom we do not know. So I give you the blessing that Boaz gives to Ruth. May the Lord reward you for your deeds. And may you have a full reward from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. One of the best ways to remind ourselves of God's loving chesed is to recite creeds. In your hymnal, please turn to page 881 and stand and recite the Apostles' Creed with me. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
West End United Methodist Church welcomes all who gather to worship with us today. If you are a guest among us, a special word of welcome is extended to you. We hope you will join us for a time of fellowship in Reed Hall, which is through the doors to your right following our worship service. First-time guests who are worshiping with us today are invited to stop by the Bread for the Journey table during our fellowship time, where you can find information about the many ministries of this church. In the pew racks in front of you, you will find a gray card. On one side of the card, you may record any comments you have for church staff or lay leadership. On the other side of the card is a place for prayer requests. We ask that you please note if these requests are to be shared or are to be kept confidential. The card may be placed in the offering plates as they are passed in a few moments. We invite you to please take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the attendance pad down the pew if you have not already done so. And as the pad is passed back down the pew, please take a moment to take note of everyone who is worshiping around you and greet anyone that you may not know following our worship service. Today we have two celebrations. We celebrate with the Jackson family and the Atkinson family on the birth of Elijah Wyatt Jackson, who was born March the 16th to John and Ruth Jackson. He is welcomed by his grandparents, Tom and Lois Atkinson. We also celebrate with Eric and Rachel Herbert on the birth of their son, William Brooks Herbert, who was born March the 17th. And William Brooks is also welcomed by his big brother, Henry. Today, we also share our sympathy with the family of Pam Rice, who is mourning the death of her father-in-law, Neil Rice, who died March 18th. The services were held Saturday, March 22nd, at Spring Hill Cemetery. Let us now prepare our hearts and minds to hear God speak to us through prayer in our words and also in our silence. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Holy One, always calling your people on a journey, we bow this day so aware of our similarity to the peoples of the past. Life for us often seems like a wilderness, as it did for the Hebrew people of long ago. We often wonder if God is among us or not when we witness evil, injustice, hunger, and war in our world today. We wonder where on earth we are going and why on earth we do what we do. We are unclear if God is leading God's people, or are we just going along without any direction? O holy God, we need your guidance and help. When the way seems dark and unclear, give us enough light to find courage to take another step. When we are frightened and fearful, give us enough courage not to falter. When we seem to be wandering, give us enough assurance and trust to believe that in some way you are still leading us. When life is overwhelming, give us enough strength to continue our journey. And when our will and determination is low, give us enough perseverance to continue. O God, we wish to be faithful to the vision of your kingdom. We wish to reach out and embrace those with human needs and alleviate suffering. Give us enough victories to keep us from despair and cynicism. Give us enough satisfaction and fulfillment to make it worth the effort. And even when it seems as if we are stepping forward into the darkness, give us enough faith to know that you will always meet us there. And now, with the confidence that God cares for us and leads us, let us pray the prayer Jesus taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The offering you make empowers ministry within our congregation and allows us to respond to the needs of our community. Let us give thankfully and abundantly through the sharing of our gifts, tithes, and offerings, that we may be called God's generous people.
to invite the congregation to please be seated. And for those that are coming up for new membership, please come forward. I want to remind you that we have an all-church lunch next week. So not today, but next week. And we hope that you'll join us for that. I'd like to introduce to you new members. I'm going to start with Janice Tracy. Janice works for Vanderbilt Medical Center and is transferring from First Presbyterian in Columbia, Tennessee. She has completed the West End 101 class and is currently involved in a covenant discipleship group. I'd like to introduce you Katie and Clement Ledbetter. The Ledbetters are no strangers to West End, and they have been worshiping with us for almost a year. They are expecting their first baby in the near future. Katie is transferring from Hope Baptist in Memphis, and she works for the state of Tennessee. Clement is transferring his membership from First Presbyterian in Columbia, Tennessee, and Janice just so happened to be his Sunday morning class teacher when he was younger. It is a small world. And he is an independent insurance agent here in the Middle Tennessee. Welcome. And next, I'd like to introduce Josie Hale and Andrew Nielsen. Josie and Andrew are engaged to be married later this year. Andrew is transferring from First United Methodist in Albany, Georgia. And Josie is transferring from the Baptist Church of her hometown in Humboldt, Tennessee. They are already connecting with the engaged and newly married class, the newest Sunday morning class called Foundations. It meets in room 312. Every Sunday morning at 9:45. So, I have a few questions for those of you coming from other traditions. That's basically everyone, except for Andrew. So, here we go. As members of Christ Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? Answer by saying, we will. Now everyone's a United Methodist. As members of the body of Christ in this congregation that is called to be the loving light of Christ, will you faithfully serve Christ through your participation in its ministry by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? Answer by saying, I will. And now, will the congregation please stand? I have two questions for you. As a congregation, will you give thanks for that all... As a congregation, will you give thanks for all that God has already given these persons and welcome them in Christian love as members of West End United Methodist Church? If you will, say, we will.
We will.
As members together in the body of Christ, will you renew your covenant to participate faithfully in the life and ministries of Christ's holy church by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ? Answer by saying, we will.
We will.
Brothers and sisters, do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. May the grace of God be with you, strengthen you by the transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may live as true disciples. Amen. Thank you. I'm so glad you guys are here. And they're going to be in Reed Hall. And you can go and greet them after the service. If you'll turn to page 170, we're going to end with Great Is Thy Faithfulness. And now go with courage under the wings of God. In the name of God, the Provider, Christ, the Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit, the Activator. Go in peace.